Thank you, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you today. I'd like to recognize my co-author, Elizabeth Pappas, who works with me at the National Soil Erosion Lab in West Lafayette. As most of you know, there's been a tremendous amount of research the last 15 or 20 years on small plot scales to study how management can affect nutrient transport, and most of this research has occurred at about a 1 or 2 square meter scale. Fewer studies, such as the two previous presentations, have gone up to a little bit of a larger scale at the field plot or the small field. This has been used to help guide nutrient management decisions that farmers have to make, and they can use anywhere from about a 1 hectare management unit all the way up to a very large, to potentially 1,000 acres if we look way out west with the some of the rangeland areas. The effects of those on water quality are not seen until much larger scales. At the smallest scale that we see with water quality are algae and streams that cover about 300 hectare to 1,000. The picture on the left side of the screen here, this is an algae bloom in Lake Erie, which drains roughly 1 million hectare. And then, of course, the Gulf hypoxia with the Mississippi River draining roughly 3 million square kilometers. So we've developed a kind of a conceptual diagram of spatial temporal phosphorus transport. And what occurs at these very small scales don't always happen to be the same things that we see at much larger scales with such as what's observed in fields. So whenever I first came to the lab, one of my interests was, we've done all this work with the National PE Research Project, and we've made all these decisions based on the phosphorus index. Does that actually apply to what's happening at the field scale? So as part of a watershed project, we decided to tack on some plot scale studies and see how management compares between plot and field scale nutrient transport. So our objectives were to evaluate nutrient transport related to scale and then determine if rainfall simulations could differentiate between phosphorus losses from fields with different management systems. Our study area is the St. Joseph River watershed, which happens to be the drinking water source for the second largest city in Indiana. It's predominantly corn and soybean rotation. It's on glacial till soils that require subsurface drainage as well as supplemental surface drainage. This is our watershed. Here is the St. Joseph River, which feeds into the Maumee River. Most of our work occurs here, and this work will focus on these two fields here. These white lines represent the management zone for these two fields. This yellow line here represents the boundaries of kind of the basin that drains to, for example, this point here, where we monitor runoff through a drop box weir. And then these green areas here are where we did rainfall simulation studies within the management zone of each of these fields, but outside of this area that drains to the drop box weir. We installed these in 2004. Both of these fields in 2004 had been in long-term no-till for roughly 14 years each. They'd been in corn bean rotation with corn in the even years. And in 2004, we got them to convert the AS2 field to a rotational tillage where they till just before corn planting. And you can see the MUDIC 3 phosphorus levels are about 50 kilograms per hectare And there is definite stratification with phosphorus near the soil surface. Here is the management of the two fields. Up until 2004, management was very, very similar. Before they planted corn in this AS2 field, they tilled. Management in 2004 was the same other than that. Same thing in 2005. 2006, they applied poultry litter to the AS2 field at about 200 kilograms per hectare, and then an inorganic fertilizer at about 100 kilograms per hectare in the AS1 field. And then here again, they tilled the AS2. Rainfall simulations. In 2004, we started with plots that measured 2, 5, and 10 square meters. In 2006, we had a little bit of a change in the protocol, so we only had the 2-meter and the 10-meter slope lengths. We applied no additional fertilizers for the purpose of this study over and above what the farmer did. And then we simulated rainfall at 50 millimeters per hour for 50 minutes and then 75 millimeters per hour for 15 minutes, which represents about a 50-year return period storm. To compare the data, we looked at the nutrient loads, the flow-weighted mean concentration, and then I have some problems with total maximum daily loads whenever you're looking at non-point source pollution, so because it does not take into account the hydrologic drivers of the system. So we've developed this new approach, potentially looking at the amount of precipitation into the system to normalize the nutrient loads. From the plot data, we calculated 95% confidence limits and used that to compare the plot scale data to the seasonal loads or concentrations that we saw from the fields. And then we also did means comparisons just between the specific plot size or the fields using the individual storms from the fields, and we did that using basic t-tests. So in this plot here, we have our AS1 field here in the black, and in the red is our AS2 field, and then we have the 2, 5, and 10-meter plots, and then since this is only one measurement, we have no error bars around the field. And you can see that looking at phosphorus loading, the trends that we see at the plot scale with higher loading from the AS1 field than the AS2 field concur with what we see with our annual loss from the fields. These type of plots represent where we're comparing at the field scale the individual storms using a t-test, and then comparing that also, this is just a comparison of the 2-meter plots between the two fields, the 5-meter plots with the star indicating a significant difference between what we observe at the two fields. So from this diagram, we feel that what we see is what I think Antonio Malarino has termed directionality, because we see a significantly higher phosphorus loading from the AS1 field at all of these plot scales, and that concurs with what we see at the field scale. The value may not be the same, but we see that trend of significantly higher loading. Looking at the flow-weighted concentrations, it's quite similar to what we saw with the loading, with a trend of higher loadings predicted by the plot scale for AS1 compared to AS2. Again, this is for 2004. And then kind of the same thing with whenever we compare these individual storms, we had significantly higher phosphorus concentrations from the AS1 field and the AS2 field, and we see that directionality predicted significantly here at the 2 meter scale. At the 5 and 10 meter, we see that trend, but it's not significant. And then this is looking at the precipitation normalized loads from 2004. Here again, this is the seasonal value, and these seasonal values start to come in line with what we observe from our plot scale. So we think that this may be a good measure where we can compare apples to apples across multiple scales. And we do see the same trend that we saw for the loading and the concentration, with higher loading or higher normalized loading from the AS1 than the AS2 field. Here we've added the 2006 data in X's, and the trend is a little bit different in 2006 compared to 2004, with slightly lower normalized loading from our AS1 field. And that's, if we compare these, make these comparisons temporally, we see pretty much the same thing occurring at our plot scale, where these 2006 plot scales predict slightly lower loadings than the 2004. And then over here on the AS2 field, our plots tend to predict a little bit higher loadings than they did in 2004, and that's what our field research shows us. And then this is comparing the individual storms for 2006, where in general we predicted, or we observed, higher loadings from the field and the AS2, but no significant differences between the two, and that's what we saw at both the plot scales we had for 2006. So we can ask, does directionality of the plot agree with the field scale observations for the season? So this is the where we had the 95% confidence in intervals. So a check mark means that we saw the directionality that we saw in the field scale, and also the 95% confidence intervals do not overlap. A zero or an O means that we saw that same trend, but there was maybe an overlap in the 95% confidence intervals. So the plot scale data seem to be able to tell us something about what we observed at the field scale. Do field scale observations fall within the 95% confidence limits? So can we take our plot scale data and predict what's occurring at the field scale? For loading, absolutely not. For concentration, not really. But whenever we use this normalized loading, we seem to be able to get a pretty good agreement between the plot scale and the field scale. Does the trend and significance of plot scale data agree with the means of the field scale data, the individual storm observations? So this is the bar charts that I showed, and a check mark means that the trend that we saw is observed, as well as the significance occurs at the plot scale. So whenever we have multiple storms and make comparisons that way, we seem to be able to grasp some knowledge from plot scale work about the individual storms that occur based on the management. So in conclusion, we think that the plot scale data delivers information about phosphorus losses at the edge of field that is directionally correct. I believe that this supports the use of plot scale studies to guide field scale management, such as what's been done through the phosphorus index in many states, such as Arkansas and Pennsylvania. And this idea of precipitation normalized phosphorus loads may be a method to kind of quasi-predict loads from the field scale. So, thank you.